everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Marvel Chronology episode, and today we're going to be continuing with the Thanos reading order. Just a reminder, this isn't a publishing order of Thanos. This is a reading order that follows his chronological appearances. So the very first books we talked about were when Thanos was a very young child in the Thanos Rising miniseries from Jason Aaron. So we're up to the classic Ron Lim drawn Jim Starlin stories of Thanos. This is right when Thanos started to have a reemergence. You know, Jim Starlin had taken him off the table, a decade earlier, and nobody else really picked him up. Nobody else had used him. Thanos had apparently died at the hands of Starlin. And other than a very brief cameo in the Captain Marvel graphic novel, Death of Captain Marvel, classic story, first graphic novel that Marvel ever put out. Other than that, nobody had used Thanos. I think everybody sort of thought of him as Jim Starlin's baby, and rightfully so, because I think Starlin has the best handle on him of just about any of creator who's ever worked on him. With a few exceptions, some people have done some interesting things, Tinney Howard, Donnie Cates, in recent time. But really, Thanos belonged to Starlin in a lot of ways, despite him being technically owned by Marvel. And so when Starlin came back and started working on this Surfer miniseries, that's what eventually led into the Infinity Gauntlet. And that's where we are right now with Silver Surfer number 38, leading up to that classic sort of the crossover that, eventually even showed up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's great, great stuff. It's, a little soap opera-ish, grand space opera, as Starlin is known for. So it's pretty spectacular stuff. So let's go ahead and dive into the issue. As I said, it's Silver Surfer number 38. It's written by Jim Starlin. We have pencils by Ron Lim. Inks are by Tom Christopher. Colors are by Tom Vincent. And letters are by Ken Bruzanak. So it starts off and we actually see the current occupants, I guess you'd say, of Thanos' flagship. He always called his flagship, it looked like a flying H. He always called it Sanctuary. So in the far off corner of the universe, we are on Sanctuary. It's actually the third iteration. So Sanctuary 3 and Nebula, the self-professed granddaughter of Thanos, is the one that's actually in charge of the ship now. She's the captain. And so some of her crew are telling her, hey, we're picking up this strange microwave activity on the sensors. And Nebula's asking, well, can you identify what it is? And they say, well, we're not sure, but whatever this microwave activity is, it's focusing right here on our bridge. And as they say that, by the nav station, there's some, activity, some kind of sparkling lights. And all of a sudden all of a thudden, right? It's that whole Thanos thing. All of a sudden, Thanos shows up. And as Nebula's like, what madness is this? Thanos replies, well, not what, but who? Surely you must recognize Thanos. I've come to reclaim my ship, what was rightfully mine. And a lot of these crew members, they were members of Thanos's crew, so they're like, oh, it's the master, he's returned from dead, prophecies are fulfilled. They completely believe, having known Thanos before, that this is Thanos. Nebula doesn't buy it though. She's like, what are you talking about? Thanos is dead, long gone. This guy's obviously an imposter. And Thanos is not having it. He's kind of standing there all puffed up, arms crossed, saying, are you the one who claims to have Thanos's blood flowing through the veins? Like, I don't remember siring anybody. And Nebula's like, what? I'm no pretender. And she calls out to her her boyfriend, her first mate, Gaitar, and says, hey, deal with this. And so he pulls out some kind of a pistol and gets ready to fire on Thanos, and Thanos blasts him with his eye beams and kills him. And Nebula calls for her security detail. And Thanos approaches her saying, dear grandchild, and you can hear the quotes in his voice. He says, it looks like your boyfriend wasn't up to the task that you set for him. And please don't waste your final breath on any sort of pleading. Prepare yourself to pay the price instead. Your sins are many. You've lied. You've claimed to be, related to Thanos. And, you're so conceited. And you can't claim to be a progeny of Thanos without proof. That's unforgivable. So he sets her on fire with his eye beams, and she goes running off the bridge, her upper body completely engulfed in flames. And Thanos turns to one of his crew members, and says, go dispose of her, see that the body's destroyed. And he turns and says, okay, who's the first officer of this vessel? And so meanwhile, Nebula is running through the ship, and she gets to a place where there's some sort of a fire extinguisher, some sort of fire retardant system, and it sprays her with foam. And the crew member that went after her looks at her and is like shocked by what she looks like, you know, her body half burned, but still feels some loyalty towards Nebula, because he says, oh, you still live. Don't worry. I'll get you to safety. I know a place I can hide you in the ship where nobody ever goes, and I'll give you a chance to heal. Everything will be all right. And he picks her up and carries her off. So interesting that some of the crew members may still be loyal to Nebula. So meanwhile, on the bridge, the first officer, you know, identifies himself, and Thanos gives orders and says, okay, you understand? And the first officer is, well, yeah, but I don't see. And Thanos is like, it's not your place to see. It's your place to obey. And in the meantime, I'll be away for a while. And as he says that, we can see he's having a vision of death. Death has appeared to him. He says, carry out my orders. I'll expect them to be done when I return. And then Thanos is transported away in a flash, and he is once again in the presence of death and those two minions that we saw when Silver Surfer first encountered him, saying, you summon me, and I answer, how can I be of service? And one of her servants asks, "What? How can you even ask that question? You should know why we're calling you. How come you haven't done what death has assigned you to do? Right? Half the population of the universe is supposed to be dead by your hand. Where are all the souls that death is supposed to be harvesting?" And Thanos was like, just hold on a second, right? Like, this task, I have a plan. We've got to move slowly. If we move too quickly, all the forces of the universe could align against us. And one of those forces would be the Silver Surfer. And Death herself said that the Silver Surfer is in a position to possibly stop what we're trying to do. And if that's the case, we got to be careful. We can't let Surfer stop my carefully laid plans. So I have avoided any direct conflict with Silver Surfer, because even though I could crush him like an insect with my power, we don't want him to foil the plans. You know, this is a game of galactic proportions. So, you know, again, it's that Thanos arrogance. Oh, I haven't fought against Silver Surfer, even though I could crush him like an insect. Well, if you could crush him like an insect, Thanos, go and do it, and then he won't stop your plans. You know, so it's like, which are too weak to believe? I could crush him like an insect if I go directly in conflict with him, but, you know, I don't want to take any chances. Yeah, right, Thanos. So anyway, he tells Death and her two minions, yeah, I've stared into this well of infinity, and with it, I've devised a plan that I can basically remove the Surfer from this conflict, and then he won't be a problem anymore. And it is interesting that he calls this an infinite well, right? He even says, it should come as no surprise, for the answers to all questions are to be found within the infinite. And we start seeing that word infinity start showing up more and more as we get close to learning more about the Infinity Gems and all that. So meanwhile, half a universe away, Silver Surfer's basically hopping from planet to planet, asking people if any of them have seen Thanos. So he's on a particular planet saying, hey, has anybody seen the vile creature known as Thanos of Titan? And these beings on this particular planet are like, no, he's dead. Like, no, he's not. Well, that's not good. They're like, yeah, well, sorry, we haven't heard of him returning. What if we do hear anything? And Surfer says, well, contact Mentor of Titan. He'll pass along the word to me. So thank you for your time. You know, I must be off, because, you know, Thanos is not resting, and neither can I, basically. And so Surfer flies off into space. So as he leaves, the aliens are talking amongst themselves, going, man, Silver Surfer should be careful, or he might just, you know, find what he might just get what he's wishing for. He might just find Thanos, and then he'd be in for it. And Surfer's thinking, you know, I'm looking for Thanos out amongst these stars. He's a killer of worlds, and he's seeking to stain the cosmos red with the blood of half of the life in the universe. And God, he you know, the space is so vast, and how can I find this enemy when he's lost amid this endless panorama of space? You know, maybe he's in a hidden layer. Maybe he's in an alternate dimension that's just one breath and an infinity away. There's that word infinity again. It's like, where does this demon hide? And he calls out even out loud, where? And then we see Thanos's face show up there in the space ways right behind him saying, maybe I'm right behind you. And Surfer turns and says, Thanos. And he replies, no, only a projection. And then he baits Surfer. He says, I'm presently on the planet Paraxylon. And Surfer's like, oh, I know that world. He's like, yeah, of course you do. And I suggest you hasten to it while it still exists. The time has come for us to settle our differences. And Thanos is like, well, you're no longer seeking to recruit me to your cause. And Thanos is like, did you really believe I was ever trying to recruit you? And Surfer says, no, I imagine it was just a ploy to keep me off guard. And Thanos says, yes, a game no longer necessary. I await your arrival. And so Surfer heads off towards Paraxion, you know, at great speed, thinking, I've got to find a way to stop Thanos, because Paraxylon is a scientifically advanced world, and it has all these bands that tap into the subterranean geothermal energy of the planet. And it's become this technological wonder, but it's also a precarious balancing act to make sure they monitor the thermal flow and nothing's overheating and all of that. But what I find interesting about this is Thanos just admitted that he lied to the Silver Surfer, right? Like, yeah, I was never really trying to recruit you to my cause in the first place. Were you, you know, dumb enough to believe that? And the Surfer's like, oh, I guess that you have a point. So why isn't Surfer suspicious at all right now? Like, okay, well, why is Thanos calling me to this planet? He's saying he wants to face me, you know, have us face off once and for all and resolve our differences. But he already lied to you once. So why would you believe anything he has to say the second time around? So it's kind of strange. You know, you would think that Surfer would at least have some sort of glimmer of suspicion, but I don't know, maybe he's just so worried about Paraxylon being damaged, or, you know, half the inhabitants dying. So he arrives on Paraxylon, he's flying around, and he's thinking about what a perfect place it is and how a carefully tailored accident from some thermal overload would be exactly what Thanos would like to do, right? To kill half the inhabitants. He calls it a designer catastrophe. And he's thinking, yeah, that's why Thanos has lured me here. So I'll be a witness to this designer catastrophe and not be able to stop it. So he's trying to find him. He uses his vision abilities, like we saw a couple of issues ago, where he can use his the energy signature of Thanos's transport. And by changing the microwave frequency of the energy that Silver Surfer can actually see with his visual field, he's able to see the craft's peculiar emanations, he calls them, and he's able to track Thanos down. So he finds him in a main conduit on the eastern side of the city. He breaks down into the kind of the sub layers there, where there's all this machinery and what have you, and confronts Thanos, saying, Thanos, I've come for you. And Thanos is like, oh, yep, tracing my energy signature, just as I hope you would. It's really nice that you're so predictable, Surfer. You know, it's nice that there's a being in the universe who will act and react exactly as you calculate. And it's going to be a true pleasure dealing with you. And Surfer's like, you know what? I've heard enough of your calculating evil. No quarter will be given, no mercy. You've already murdered millions. And he fires his cosmic power at Thanos. Thanos blocks it with an energy shield, saying, that's an empty boast. You don't have the skill or the power to really threaten me. And Surfer, you know, redoubles his efforts, gives another blast of the power cosmic, and says, you underestimate me, and starts to say, you are something. But Thanos teleports away, and Surfer's like, God, why do you keep running away? And Thanos appears right behind him and then fires his energy beams at Silver Surfer and knocks him down. And the Surfer's getting frustrated, saying, stand your ground, you know, fight me like a man face to face. Instead, he fades out. So Surfer's like, well, he's fading in and out of reality. And for some reason, he's chosen to break off our encounter. But once again, I'll just follow his craft's emissions and it'll lead me to him. And my new strategy is instead to attack the man, I need to attack his vessel. That way he can't keep teleporting away and running away from me. He'll have to stand and fight. So he follows the energy emissions and finds him, you know, a few tunnels away as he goes through the maze. And he sees Thanos. He approaches him from behind and says, "Turn and face me." And this version of Thanos is, and I say version because we'll find out in a second what really happened. But he's confused. He says, "Huh, what?" And Surfer says, "There's going to be an end to this senseless killing." And who appears to be Thanos turns around and says, "No, please." And Surfer blasts the transport, and it explodes in this huge explosion that takes out a bunch of the city and the buildings above it. We see all this, debris and flames and smoke, a smoldering crater, and Silver Surfer kind of busts out of it, saying that he didn't expect such a forceful release of energy from Thanos's vessel. And he says, "My cosmic senses show me that Paraxylons had evacuated this sector of the city as soon as they detected that Thanos and I were here, so none of them died. But the fact that the Silver Surfer survived, he expects that Thanos survived as well." So he calls for his board and goes searching for Thanos, and it doesn't take him too long before he finds him. And what he finds is a smoldering skeleton. And he's distraught a little bit. He says, "It's not my intention. It was not meant to end like this, but maybe this was the only way it could end. You know, Thanos was evil and he played with forces beyond his reckoning. But I still feel bad. He kind of brought this on himself." And then Surfer thinks, "But I can't leave him like this. Yes, he might have been a scoundrel and he might have been deserving death, but his father is wise and gentle, and this is going to affect him in some way. So maybe I will just inter him in this coffin and take him back to Thanos, and back to Titan rather, and that will ease the loss for Mentor." So he uses the power cosmic. He creates this rectangular coffin that holds the remains of Thanos. And he says, "The word can now spread amongst the stars that Thanos, the Mad Titan, is once again dead. And such news will allow the fragile universe to sleep easier tonight." And Surfer goes flying off toward Titan. And in the meanwhile, in the flaming wreckage that is left after Surfer departs, we see Thanos materialize once again in his chair. And he says, "Let it be known that the reports of Thanos's demise were greatly exaggerated." You know, that famous quote. And he says, "Don't let Silver Surfer in on the secret, though. He'd be crushed to know the body was actually Graitar, Nebula's personal bodyguard and lover." So that guy that he blasted right at the beginning, he says that he had the crew on Sanctuary 3 surgically alter Graitar to look like Thanos, to look like his genetic double, and then basically planted him here so that the Surfer now thinks that Thanos is dead, so he won't look for him, and Thanos can go on a quest, as it were. And so Thanos is aware that at some point the Surfer is going to discover that he tricked him. But by that time, Thanos is hoping that it won't matter, because by that time, Thanos will have achieved his goal. And as he blinks out, as he teleports away from the planet Praxilon, he thinks he's going to possess, once Thanos finishes his quest, he's going to possess such might and power that not even the Surfer's interference is going to be worth noticing. The ultimate power that Thanos has, it won't matter what Surfer tries to do. But then he thinks, but speaking of such dreams is premature, best not to voice the unbelievable not yet. And then we see Thanos in space, flying along on his quote unquote Mobius chair. That's what it looks like. He says, "The stars will soon realize the true horrific splendor of my hunger." Thanos dreams the most dark and forbidding fantasies, fantasies that are strong enough to chill the soul. And then at the very end of the last page, we get "and those dark fantasies and other vile schemes will be revealed in Thanos, the miniseries, two big sense shattering issues on sale this summer." We know they eventually changed the name to Thanos Quest. And those are the two issues that are in the prestige format, square bound, where Thanos goes out and basically collects all the Infinity Gems, and that leads directly into the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries. So, interesting way for Thanos to go, you know, despite him saying, "Oh, I have the ability to destroy the Silver Surfer if I want to, but I don't want to take any chances. So let me just trick him," basically. And you would think that the the Surfer would use his cosmic powers to kind of run a, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like a DNA test. Like, are these remains really Thanos? We do know that Gaitar was genetically altered. So I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have done any good anyway. But for now, the Surfer seems fooled, and Thanos is free to move about the cosmos without having to worry about the Surfer opposing him and that prediction from Death that Thanos is, or that Silver Surfer rather, is the one who is capable of thwarting Thanos' plans to destroy half the universe and bring all these souls to death. So just a quick word on the art. I mean, it's Ron Lim. I've talked about it before. He is the perfect artist to be doing this. And I kind of feel like the art was just a little bit rough in the beginning when Lim and Starlin got started working together. But by this issue, by issue 38, they're firing on all cylinders. You know, clean lines, looks very cosmic, a lot of detail. You know, the explosions and the coloring and the space scenes, all of it, the smoldering ruins, the smoke, the fire, it all works really, really well. So, I mean, this is just classic stuff. A little bit of a 90s feel to it in kind of the way everything is laid out from panel to panel and what's in the panels themselves, just, you know, putting the artwork first, but certainly not to the point where we're getting not enough story or it's a really quick read like a lot of those Image comics of the day were. I mean, we do get some larger panels here or there, but when we do, there's certainly a purpose for those. So yeah, perfect artwork, perfect team up of collaborators here, and just the best of the Silver Surfer era of this time for sure, having Starlin and Lim on these books. So just a reminder, go to the Crushing Crisis website. There's a link in the show notes if you want to follow along, or if you want to go back and you need to get caught up on the Thanos reading order from when we started with Thanos first appearing as a young child in the Thanos Rising miniseries by Jason Aaron, all the way up to where we are now with Silver Surfer 38. And then next episode, we'll be talking about Silver Surfer 40. So again, Crushing Crisis website, great resource. We've had Crisis on the show before to talk about why he does it and what he does, and his talk about his own YouTube show and things like that. So the site is a great resource to find reading orders, whether you're looking to get a reading order for a particular series or a particular character. There's tons and tons of information there. So again, link in the show notes, go and check it out. So in the meantime, to you all, I say thanks for listening as always. We'll be continuing with the Thanos Reading Order next episode with Silver Surfer 40, as I mentioned. So really appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next time. You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.